Let's turn now to Matthew chapter 5. The Gospel according to Matthew chapter 5. And you'll recall that we're working through the series of short statements with which the Lord begins his Sermon on the Mount. We could read from the beginning of this chapter to get the context, but our particular focus today will be on verse 4. Matthew chapter 5, reading from the beginning. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And particularly these last words, Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Have you noticed in recent years how the practice with regards to funerals is changing so dramatically in society? There wasn't that long ago that if you went along to a funeral, you knew broadly what to expect. What do we do at a funeral? We mourn. We mourn the dead person who has passed, and we worship God in that situation. Very simple. But sadly, that's not at all what we see nowadays as we tend to go along to funerals. The trend is changing, and as society becomes more worldly, so we're seeing the world's attitude starting to shape how funerals are conducted. So that instead of mourning someone who has passed away, rather the focus has moved to celebrating them. So instead of grief and the experience of grief, the tendency rather is to, for example, tell a funny story about them, to laugh, to find humour, to talk about all the wonderful achievements that this person did in their life. Celebration rather than mourning. And that effort not to mourn, that's something that marks not just funerals, but our whole culture. Our whole society is rejecting the idea of mourning, of sadness, of looking back to the past and seeing what has been lost and what we are lacking today and grieving for it. Rather, we're rejecting that entirely. We don't look back. We don't look to the past. We look only to the future, and we try to be happy regardless of what has occurred. Our society does not say, blessed are they that mourn. It rather sees mourning as a bad thing and does everything possible to avoid mourning. But our text says, and the Lord Jesus Christ says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And you'll remember that as we're looking at this Sermon on the Mount, we're seeing here the true Christian described for us. Before we were looking at the identity of the Lord Jesus, now we're looking at the identity of the true Christian. And we'll see from these words one very simple fact about the true Christian. The true Christian mourns. Mourning is a part of the life of the true believer. And mourning means not just to feel a little bit sad sometimes. It means to have something in your life that is a source of real grief. Something that you regard with deep, with intense sadness. Something that is reason to mourn. Spiritual mourning. That's what it's referring to. It's not referring just to a natural loss. It's referring to spiritual sadness. And you see how it connects so naturally with what has gone before. There's that logical development through these statements. Before we had, blessed are the poor in spirit. And now we come on, quite logically, quite naturally, to blessed are they that mourn. We are poor in spirit, therefore we mourn. We see our own poverty, and that leads us to mourn. And so it is that the true Christian is one who mourns. But let's come to see firstly, the world does not mourn. Here we see the difference between the true Christian on the one hand, and the world on the other hand. The world does not mourn. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Well, what does it mean to mourn? Mourning involves grief, doesn't it? Sadness. It means to feel upset, to feel distressed at something that occurs. But the world hates to mourn. The world hates sadness. It rejects it entirely. You remember recently how there were buses going round the centre of London. There's probably no God. Now stop worrying and get on with your life. That was the message on the side. Don't mourn, don't worry, don't feel anxious about eternity. There's probably no God. Just get on and enjoy life while it lasts. You see that dangerous message that is coming into our society. And never has there been a society that so rejected the idea of mourning. When has there ever been a society that was so full of entertainment? Has ever a world had so much entertainment as we have, coming at us from all sides? The television, the internet, the books, the productions, all going on and on, entertainment. All to try and fill that void, to distract us, to take our mind away from the reality of our situation before God. Music. When has there ever been a generation that heard so much of music, that had their ears so filled with it? Laughter. When was there a generation that had so much comedy, so much humour, so much entertainment, so much variety? And yet, are we any happier as a result? There might be more laughter, but is there that deep-seated happiness that we truly desire? The tragedy is that our generation is trying to entertain itself, trying to cover up the grief, but the grief is still there. This is still a sad world, and the pain is still felt and experienced. Mourning involves grief. Mourning involves pain. And pain is a horrible thing. It's an unpleasant thing to experience pain. And yet we know it's sometimes necessary, don't we? Just this morning, we had my little son down in the kitchen. My wife was making the porridge. He puts his hand out. He touches the hot stove. And he is crying. He is in pain. He has hurt his finger. But that's a good pain. That's a healthy pain. It's a pain that's warning about something dangerous. That's saying, don't touch that. You will hurt yourself. You will harm your body if you touch that. That pain, you see, is good. But our world hates and rejects pain. Our world is determined not to experience pain. It's funny. Has there ever been a society where there was more depression? Where more people were needing medical help for their own sadness? Has there ever been a society where there was more of self-harm? You see it amongst teenagers especially. This hurting of themselves, this cutting of themselves. And where's that coming from? Where's that intense hatred of one's own body that would lead you to do something like that? Is it not arising from the pain within? That pain, you're trying to deny it's there, you're trying to entertain it away, and yet the pain is there, and it seems to get worse rather than get better as it is ignored. The tragedy is, our society is a society full of pain. And we shouldn't be trying to ignore it and avoid it. The Word of God doesn't say, ignore your pain and pretend it's not there. The Word of God says, blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are they that see the pain, that acknowledge the sadness, that recognize, yes, there are things in this life that are extremely distressing and that should bring forth mourning from us. But there is comfort. Mourning involves grief. Mourning involves pain. But especially, mourning involves powerlessness. And this is the crucial point. Because when we mourn, that expresses the feeling, here is something that we hate, that we dislike, that we cannot resolve, that we cannot sort out. When we're mourning for a loved one who has died, we're recognizing, I cannot bring this person back to life. When we're mourning for one who is ill, we recognize, I cannot heal this person. We're mourning for what we cannot address and sort out and deal with. Our world hates to feel powerless. Our world is full of the pursuit of science. Well, science is a good thing. Science is a valuable thing. But if science is leading only to explanations that try to turn us away from the Word of God, then it becomes a very dangerous pursuit. Our world is full of the pursuit of medical research. Again, a very good thing when it prolongs life. But if we're looking to medicine rather than to the gospel, then we've entirely confused our priorities. Such things may prolong life, they may help life, but yet the reality is, suffering continues, and the certainty of death continues. And for all the advances of modern medicine, death is just as certain a reality for every single person as ever it was. You know, you went back to the Victorian age, in these days, death was all around you. Death would come into every family, more or less. If there were perhaps 10 children in a family, as was very common in these days, it was quite natural that one or two of these children would die before the age of 5 or 6. That was just routine. It was just normal in these days. Many women dead in childbirth. Death was all around them. Now, that's a dreadful thing. That's a sad thing. It's good that we do not have that any longer to such a great degree. But the point is, if we're ignoring death, just because death now happens in hospitals and in nursing homes, and mainly to older people, then we're missing the point. Death comes for us all, and we must be prepared. We must be ready. Blessed are they that mourn. You see, our world hates this. It does not value mourning. The world refuses to mourn. And yet the truth is that the world is feeling that sorrow, it's feeling that pain more and more deeply. Says the Lord, woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. And the tragedy is that if we fill our minds just with the things of this world, there might be the laughter for a time, but there is the mourning and the sadness just waiting for us, just waiting around the corner. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. We need, therefore, sorrow. We need mourning, godly sorrow, godly mourning that recognizes, yes, there are things that cause sadness. Yes, there are reasons to be sad and to mourn. But there is comfort and there are solutions. And so it is that we're like the Apostle Paul. We recognize that there is such a thing as godly sorrow. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. We need to feel that godly sorrow for sin. And for all that sin has brought upon the world, we need to hate sin, to loathe it, to despise it, to mourn over it, and therefore to turn from our sin and from our love for our sins to the Lord, and to find the comfort, the real, meaningful, lasting comfort, which the Lord can give to wicked sinners like us who have reason to mourn. You see the point? Godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation, not to be repented of. What about you? Are you refusing to mourn? Are you refusing to feel your own pain? Are you trying to cover it up, to deny it, to pretend it's not there? Or are you recognizing, yes, I have reason to mourn. And the Word of God says to me, blessed are they that mourn. So much then in our first point, the world does not mourn. But that brings us then to our second point. The true Christian does mourn. The true Christian does mourn. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. The true Christian knows grief. We know what it is to be saddened and to be upset. And the reason is, we know ourselves. We see the sin. We see the mistakes. we see the guilt. We see the reality of what we have done, and that is good reason for sorrow and for mourning. We see, yes, I do have a problem. I'm not okay. I can't just shrug my shoulders over it. There is real sin here, and it's an ugly thing and a vile sin. If you look in the book of Psalms is not a book about, oh, just ignore all your problems. Rejoice in the Lord. That's all there is. No, the book of Psalms is full of mourning. It's full of grief over the painful, bitter reality of sin. It's full of guilt that gnaws away at the soul. Shame for what we've done that humiliates and disgraces us within our own heart. And the painful consequences that sin brings upon us. It's a bitter experience to mourn over sin. And yet it's a blessed experience. And that's what our text says. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed is the experience of the prodigal son who's saying, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight and am no more worthy to be called thy son. That's a painful statement. But the word says, the person who's reached that point, they are blessed. Or as David puts it, I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. The word of God says, blessed is the man who can say that, who can acknowledge that. The true Christian knows grief. The true Christian knows pain. And sin does bring pain. It pains us ourselves. We feel the pain that our sin has caused to ourselves. But even worse, we feel the pain that it has caused to others. And it's a striking thought, isn't it? That the worst pain is the pain that someone else feels. The parents know what we mean by that. You know, you take up your child, like I was picking up my son the other day to put him into his car seat, knocked his head against the side of the car door, and he's crying, he's in pain. And I'm feeling his pain, and I'm wishing that I could feel 10 times that pain if he would not feel it. I'm actually feeling, I suspect, much worse than he is, and feeling it more deeply than he is. And you see, it's like that when it comes to the Lord and to our sin against him. When we realize that holy God is offended with us, then it becomes so much more painful. Because we realize I am grieving the holy God above, and that itself is reason for pain. Says the Apostle Paul, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. And the reality is that my sin grieves the Spirit of God. And what sadness as we feel the great separation between us and God, the Holy God, that is created by our sin. What reason for pain that is when we think of that great gulf that separates us and our lives from God who lives in perfect holiness. That is pain, isn't it? Think of the pain of the Apostle Paul. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? That's an expression of pain. That's anguish that comes through in these words. Think of the Lord Jesus himself. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, that stonest the prophets and killest them that are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thee, as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. That's the pain of separation, and that comes from the other side. That's the Lord himself feeling the pain of the separation from his beloved people. Oh, blessed are they that mourn when they see the reality of what sin has brought, when they see that separation. The true Christian knows pain. And the true Christian knows powerlessness. You remember we said this is the crucial element to mourning. It's powerlessness. The true Christian knows what it is to feel totally powerless. As we see our own sin, as we see the great gulf and we realize, I can't fix this. I can't sort this out. I can't just turn over a new leaf and make it all okay. My guilt is too great. My sin is too immense. I am powerless. And that's the root of the mourning, isn't it? When we see, I cannot address my own sin. It is too great. Blessed are they that mourn. Why blessed? Why are they blessed as they mourn over their own sin? Is it not because those who are brought to mourn for sin like that are brought to Jesus and are brought to see this is the only hope? If I am mourning so much over my sin, if I see myself so powerless, there's no other alternative. There's nothing else I can do. I can't sort it out myself. I can't get any other person to help me sort it out. I'm brought to the Lord Jesus. He is the only hope for wicked sinners like me. And so you see, there is this blessing. Blessed are they that mourn. They are blessed because they see their own sin and they repent of it. Blessed are they that mourn. There is no other solution for sin but the Lord Jesus Christ himself. What about you? Have you been brought to mourn over your sins? It may be that you're thinking in yourself, well, I don't mourn over my sins as I should do. I feel distressed by them sometimes, but I aren't mourning as much as I should be mourning for my sins. Now that's true. And that's true of every single person here. That's true of me, that's true of you. None of us is mourning as much as we should mourn, because how could we possibly, when we see just how vile our sins are, how could we possibly mourn enough for these wicked sins? So yes, it's true, you are not mourning as much as you should. But the key question is this: do you look at your life and the law of God and see it as a reason to mourn? That's the point. Do you look at that law and say, well, there's one or two things that aren't quite right, but for the most part, yes, that's my life. If you're there, then you haven't even come to grips with your sin. But if you look at the law of God, step by step, stage by stage, commandment by commandment, and you mourn as you see, broken, broken, broken. If that is you mourning over your sins, then don't you see that you're one who is pronounced blessed in this text? Blessed are they that mourn, because you no longer have any reason to hope in yourself. Have you given up any hope of earning God's salvation all by yourself? If you have, then blessed. Blessed are you when you're mourning over your sins, because you're brought to Jesus Christ as the only hope. If you're one who has given up hope of yourself, then you're ready to come to the Lord Jesus. Then you're ready to lift up your eyes and to look to the Lord Jesus, who can give salvation, who is pure and holy and sufficient for all your needs. Then you can look to him and find in him salvation, find in him the comfort that he alone can give. And this, you see, brings us to our third point. We've considered that the world does not mourn. We've considered that the true Christian does mourn. Now let's see, thirdly, the true Christian shall be comforted. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Those who mourn for their sins in this world, there is comfort for them. Those who despair of themselves in this world and who turn to Jesus Christ, there is comfort for these people. There's comfort in this world, and there is comfort for the Christian. Yes, we can feel very depressed and very cast down at times. Our sin is great. It is wicked. It is vile. And it's right that at times we should mourn. There is a time to mourn, says the scripture. But there is comfort in this world. We have a sure hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if our faith is in him, then we do have true comfort. A sure and steadfast hope, it's described as in scripture. Like an anchor within the veil. An anchor sure and steadfast to hold to in the midst of this life. There is comfort. There is comfort in the fellowship of God's people, encouraging us to go on. There's comfort in the worship of God as we obey God and seek to give him the worship that he has commanded. And there is comfort in the presence of God when we draw near to God, maybe in the singing of the Psalms, maybe in our own times of private worship, maybe in family worship. There is comfort in the presence of God. There is sweetness and encouragement in that. It's like the prophet Isaiah writes to the people of his day, "In that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortedst me." Now that's the experience of the true believer in Jesus Christ. He knows that God has reason for anger, but he knows also that God's anger has turned away because of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's anger was poured out in Jesus. And so for us, there is comfort in him. And that's a precious, a lovely thought. You see how it's expressed? Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. It's not something we do to ourselves. We don't comfort ourselves. We are comforted by the Lord himself. Your comfort ultimately is from another. It's from the Lord Jesus. It's his comfort that we need most of all. The comfort of his love, of his presence. And if we feel that comfort to some extent in this life, for a time, at times of closeness to the Lord, at times of sweetness of his presence, how much more when we shall experience his presence without any barrier, without any restraint? How much more when we will be truly, permanently in the presence of God? And God, we're told, shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Is this not our comfort? And is this not glorious? The comfort which the Lord Jesus himself gives to his redeemed in eternity. And therefore, your comfort will be fully experienced. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. It's something certain. It's something definite. It's something established. This comfort will be given, and it is a rich and a sweet privilege. Even now we have the foretaste, but then we'll have the completion. Think of the comfort of heaven. No more pain over sin. Sin is gone. It's done. It's dealt with. No more guilt. No more gnawing shame. It's done. It's finished. It's complete. Christ has paid the price. Think of the comfort of knowing yourself truly holy, of knowing no barrier, no separation between you and God, but only his presence and his sweetness forever. That's the comfort of the true believer, redeemed by the Lord and brought at last into everlasting glory. Now, it's just the foretaste. It's just at times. It's just occasionally and to some extent that we are comforted. But then we shall have the full and permanent comfort which we truly need. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. This is the joy, you see, of the believer. The foretaste now and the blessed full taste that is yet to come of the Lord's comfort. The true Christian mourns. Just as we draw to our close, a couple of thoughts of application. To those of you who mourn over your sins, who do mourn, who feel them and who feel them deeply, and who see, yes, I am a sinner. Don't you see that this text offers you encouragement? Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed. You are blessed as you mourn, for you're seeing your need of Jesus Christ. Feel that mourning, experience it. But don't just stop there. Don't just wallow in the mourning. As you mourn over yourself, let that point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let that turn you from yourself to Jesus. You mourn over yourself. But as you look to Jesus, there is no reason for mourning. He is all sufficient. He is able to pay the price. Blessed are you if you mourn for sin. Blessed, for you shall be comforted. Then again, to those of you who are trying not to mourn, are trying to fill your thoughts with entertainment, with the noise of this world, with the laughter of this world, who are trying to block out the mourning over sin, don't you see that that's not good enough? It's not working out. You'll never be able to deal with your own grief and sadness by pretending that it doesn't exist. Won't you look even now to the Lord Jesus Christ? Won't you turn to Him who can give you comfort? Won't you look to the one who is able to cleanse away these sins which are real, the one who's able to wash them away, to close that, to withdraw that barrier of separation and to grant you His presence? Won't you look to Jesus Christ and find in Him true and lasting and meaningful comfort? Oh, let each one of us look unto Him and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. For I am the Lord, and there is none else. Amen.